Welcome to Margin Business Digital Entrepreneur Podcast. In today's episode, we got Devin Miller. Devin is a patent attorney for startups and small businesses, patents, trademarks, and copyrights. And he is the Inventive Journey podcast host. And he is the founder and CEO of Miller IP Law. Welcome, Devin. One more thing. If you enjoy our content, please hit the subscribe button and give us a thumbs up. Thank you. And enjoy.
Margin Business Digital Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm very happy to have you here, Devin, today. So let's jump right into it. And yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're located, and what was it like to be in the early days of Devin up to the school, and you know, and then we work ourselves up to you, what you do today.
Sure. Yeah. So a little bit about myself. So on the family side, so I'm a father of four. So I have four kids between ages 5 and 10. So I have an oldest is a son and then three girls. I've been married for 14 years to my wife that I met while we were in school or in college. On the educational side, so I end up getting 4 degrees, which my wife always jokes is 3 degrees too many. So I got an electrical engineering degree, a Mandarin Chinese degree, and then a law degree, as well as an MBA or Master's of Business Administration. So kind of split the deck between a few different things. And, you know, a lot of the motivation for that is I like the engineering inventing side. And then that kind of took me down the path of kind of had two interests that I wanted to pursue, which one was more on the startup entrepreneur doing a business. The other side, I thought, you know, work doing on the legal side and protecting and doing patents and trademarks and kind of work on the legal side were both of interest to me. So as I was going throughout my career, that's what I did on the MBA. I did the dual degree of both the MBA and the law degree to, you know, kind of have the entrepreneur business side understanding of it as well as the legal side. And then that's kind of gone throughout all of my career. So I've done several startups and small businesses and grown them to 7 and 8 figure businesses. I also run my, I worked as an attorney for other law firms for about 6.5 years, some of the top 100 law firms in the US. And then I decided I was going to jump over and do my own law firm where I could focus more specifically on startups and small businesses, which are more of the kind of clients I like to work with, the people that I enjoy working alongside of. So that's kind of me in a very quick nutshell, just a little bit about my background and how I got to where I'm at today.
Okay, that sounds already really good. That was a good overview. And where, I mean, at the moment you said you're located in Utah, correct?
I am, yeah. So I'm located in Utah, just north of Salt Lake City.
Okay, so is it where you grew up, where everything happened in your childhood and you went there to school and everything? Yeah, you really from this area, right?
Most of it. So I was technically born in there. So my family, the place that I live and work nearby, but the place I live, it's been there for generations. So going back multiple generations, helped to found the town. So my parents, I was technically born in Arizona, but shortly thereafter, they moved back to the hometown. So really for all purposes, I grew up there and been around there ever since. And so that's kind of been the place that I've grown up. School, I went to undergraduate in Utah. So I went to BYU at Brigham Young University, which is about an hour and a half south of there. That one was certainly nearby and loved to Utah. I did go out for law degree and for the MBA degree, and I studied those. I went out to Cleveland, Ohio, and went to Case Western Reserve. So I did take a stint of about 4 years outside of Utah when I was doing the graduate studies and law degree and whatnot. And then after that, I moved back to Utah and have been here ever since.
Okay. Sounds good. So, and when this entrepreneurship thing came into you, I mean, when was the first time that you felt like, okay, I cannot, obviously, most of the people went through a normal job, you know, and then suddenly they realized, listen, I can do some more, you know, this is not what I'm destined to be, you know. So where does this kick in? Do you remember any time, maybe as a kid, maybe as an adult, maybe maybe at some point you just said, yeah, whatever, I don't want to be any employee. I want to do my own things and I have big plans.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I can think of a specific date. I mean, where I started to kind of come to a head or kind of more seriously think about it, or at least where I can recall, was more as I was kind of getting towards the end of undergraduate. So I was doing electrical engineering and was getting ready to graduate and was kind of trying to decide what I wanted to be when I grow up, so to speak, or what I wanted to do for a career. And I said, you know, I enjoy engineering, enjoy you know, understanding technology and working on it, but I don't know that I want to be an engineer in the sense that I don't want to be on stuck on a project full time. I don't want to just be, you know, small cog in a big wheel and you work on a project for a long period of time and it takes you years to work up, you know, up to the company and you're there 20 years and eventually you can have some impact on the business. That didn't seem ideal for me. So it was kind of as I was trying to think about that, that I really had a bit more of the crossroads is what I want to do with my career. So that's where I kind of had those two options. And do I want to be an entrepreneur? Do I want to do business or do I want to do law? And I honestly couldn't decide. So that's hence why I went and got both degrees. And really, even while I was studying, so kind of give you a backdrop. So while I was in law, doing both the dual degrees in law school and MBA school, I was, you know, pursuing both degrees. I had a two-year-old, I had a newborn. I was working 20 hours as a law clerk at a law firm. And then I also decided to start a business at that point. So I actually went in, there was, and I think it was a flyer. I can't remember if it was an email or a flyer, but you know, one of those that say, hey, you know, business competition, come form a group and enter and type of a thing. So I went to the meeting and didn't know anybody, formed a group. And it was kind of it was a multidisciplinary. So you had designers, you had engineers, you had business people, you had law people, and you kind of formed a group with everybody for different backgrounds, and then you did the competition. So that was kind of the first time where I started to get more of a, hey, not only do I want to be an entrepreneur startup, but I actually started to do something. So first year we entered the business competition. We came up with a gym bag that didn't reduce the stink or the smell of the gym bag. It was a good idea, but didn't really go anywhere. Took second place. We kind of went our separate ways. But then the next year, we were all juniors at that time. So when we were all seniors, decided to come back, form a group, and we're trying to decide what we wanted to do, enter the competition that year. And it could have been everything. You know, we had self-packing boxes. We had other really stupid ideas, but nothing we really liked. And so at that point, you know, I was into, and I still do a lot of running, I started doing marathons. And so I ran my first marathon and said, you know, wouldn't it be cool if you had a watch that could tell you how your hydration level is doing? Now, this is before Fitbit, this is before Apple Watch or anything else. So that was the idea we came up with. I went home over the Christmas break. My dad was an engineer as well. We built up a prototype, started testing it, and built that from, entered it in the business competition, took second place again, which was bittersweet. I think we should have taken first. But then I wanted to continue on the business, but you know, all the business people in the group were going to be going different ways. So I bought out their positions, took over full ownership, started that as a business. That one still is going today, different technology, more on the medical device type of an area. But so really since undergraduate, started my path of doing law, I started my path doing entrepreneurship and been chasing both of them ever since and continue to do that today.
Okay, that sounds good. I mean, it's as well, it sounds a bit logic for me as well, because at some point, if you're in law, in a law firm, then there is a stop, you know, you cannot go over it, you know, and this is, you know, if you don't want to open your own law firm, then it's different, you know, but, you know, then it's another way, it's as well another effort to make. But there was one thing which you mentioned, because, you know, most of my audience is into e-commerce as well. The bag which don't smell, you know. I think that's an awesome idea. It came out from all the ideas you just mentioned and what you were working on. And how did you get on something like that? Because really, okay, everyone knows, you know, when you do a lot of sports, I do a lot of sports, you know, your clothes in the bag, or at some point it smells a bit. I mean, not smells, but you know, it has a special, if you need to clean it all the time, you know what I mean? Odor, exactly. So how did you get on this? I mean, like, the, you know, when I think about it, okay, now it's logic, you know, but How did you come up with that idea? I think it's amazing, you know, and you should really think about it, even if it exists already. I think you should try, you know, do it again, you know, produce it and just throw it out there, you know?
Maybe someday I'll circle back. I haven't given up on it, but I also have a lot of other irons in the fire. But no, I can't take credit for coming up with the idea entirely. That was when we originally formed our group. And, you know, we were kind of that first year before we got to the second year. But that initial first year, we were more kind of brainstorming. And one of the people in our group was actually a designer at the time. They were having some classes and they were talking about how you could make products that mimic real life or mimic nature. And so you can, you know, make something that whatever it looks like, you know, blend in with nature. One of the things they were talking about is how, you know, sharks actually don't have bacteria growing them. The way their scales work and the way that they actually, that part of nature, they don't have bacteria that grows on them. And so it makes it's a benefit to them in nature because then they don't have a lot of disease. They don't have any of that type of nature or things.
Okay.
But then we started to look and say, well, could you apply that to a product? In other words, so we actually started to build or to do prototyping for a gym bag that would mimic the shark scale such that it would not, because what makes a lot of odor with, you know, working out in gym is the bacteria that grows as you sweat. And it's not the actual sweat itself, but it's how it interacts with your body. And then it gets into your clothes. And if you could actually take the gym bag, make it mimic the, you know, the shark scales, then you could actually reduce the smell of the gym bag because bacteria wouldn't grow in the gym bag. So you wouldn't have to wash it as much. It wouldn't smell as much and it'd be beneficial. So that's kind of how we initially got into it. We, you know, looked into it and never got as far. We simply just didn't push it as far as we could have. So maybe someday I'll pick it back up. I still think it's a cool idea, but just never quite had the time or effort to circle back to it yet.
Yeah, that's amazing because, you know, actually the breakdown that you just said, I didn't know anything about it. So you really have to, you know, dig into it. And maybe I would have said, just put some odor inside and, you know, leave it always that it's always, it comes out clean. But, you know, that it is actually bacteria which is inside and is doing some things to your clothes and to your bag. And it's super interesting. Really, I just try to look at this and, you know, there is big potential in that 100%, you know, really it's really amazing. Yeah. And further on with the studies in law, what type of law did you study? I mean, did you finish? I mean, I think you finished the studies, right? So what was your specialization and what could have happened or what was in your mind in order to push it further? I mean, without working at a law firm, what would be another option instead of doing your own office and having your own employees with you? What would be the other option? Would there be any option to go further into being a judge, or is there, what would be have been the possibilities, or what was your focus actually?
Yeah, so a couple of questions in there. You know, I specialized in intellectual property, patents, trademarks, copyrights. And so that was kind of the area. I like startups and small businesses. And so, and, you know, businesses in general, inventions and creating something and building something. And so that goes really well with, you know, a lot of patents and trademarks. You know, you use a patent if you have an invention, you want to protect it, or you have a trademark if you want to protect your brand or something of that nature. And so that's where I ended up specializing in with law school, is to say, okay, that's, you know, that's the type of things that I find interesting. It fits well with, if I ever do my own business, that I can help to protect it, as well as I can see a lot of, you know, cool inventions of what other people are working on or are doing. And so kind of with that in mind, I specialize, you know, got law degree. And then you also, if you're going to do a patent attorney, you have to take a separate bar test in addition to the normal state bar. So I took both of those and worked with, you know, Scott going on being an intellectual property patent and trademark attorney. So I was working with big firms. And yes, you know, kind of your second question is to, you know, there's a few traditional paths and that you can take as an attorney. One is, you know, you can just hang up your shingle as soon as you go or graduate from law school, try and get clients in. That one's always a very difficult path because you don't necessarily have the experience. You don't know, have any client base. You don't know how to do a lot of the things that you need to learn. So people do it and they can be successful, but it's a pretty difficult path. a lot of times what you're going to do is you're going to go work for a law firm where you can have, you know, kind of a more senior attorney that you work under. You can get some good experience. You can have, you know, mentorship, and you can get a better understanding and also start to make connections and network. And so that is the path that I, you know, initially took. I went and worked for, you know, I went and worked for some of the top 100 law firms. I worked with clients like Amazon and Intel and Red Hat and Ford and others, and got some really good experience. But then to your point is, you know, if you stay in a law firm, you kind of have their traditional model. You can work there, stay there for 10 plus years. You become partner, usually start out as a junior partner, which means you get some additional bonuses and money. You work up to have any sort of stay in the company or into the law firm, you have to stick around for even longer. And then you're still working with a lot of other partners. And so you don't really have a lot of input. You have some into the direction of the firm. So looking at that landscape, I'm saying, okay, long-term, I want to have a greater impact on my career. I want to figure out, you know, what type of firm I want to. I want to be able to have an or a say of how to run it. I want to be able to, you know, do something and be able to have the direction. Also think a lot of times with law firms that they are doing things the way that they've been done for forever. You have a lot of people who don't want to change. And so there's a lot of opportunities to improve. So kind of with all that in mind, to your point, you know, you can be a judge most of the time. I looked at judges. Judges are, you know, unless you're on the federal court or you go to a higher level judge, they have to run for office every 4 years. I don't know that I wanted to be in that perpetual having to run for office and having to get reelected. And if you didn't get reelected, you have to figure out what to do with your career. So that wasn't really an option for me. Now, other people can do it. It can be a good career path. But again, if I was to be a more of a judge, you don't really work on patents and trademarks. You don't really work on those inventions. You don't help them. You're more being a judge over cases, and that's a different type of law. So didn't really have an interest. And so it was kind of left with, I could either continue on, work for a firm, do other businesses. I could just be a solo person and just do, you know, be a one man band and do it all myself, or I could start to build a law firm. And so I started out more as kind of a solo person. I had one paralegal that came along with me that was awesome and still with the firm and does a great job. But then I was saying, okay, if I'm going to grow this beyond just myself, if I want to make it into a business, have a bigger reach, have a bigger, you know, income, have a better ability to help people, I can't really do it myself. And so that's where it started to expand to bringing other people on and building it and growing it.
Okay. Yeah, that's it's really interesting, you know, because when I look at the pattern, you know, as well at the law, e-commerce law, patent law, it's like you have chosen this in the best time, you know. I mean, when COVID hit, e-commerce boomed more than before, you know. I'm sure there's a lot going on, you know. There were a lot of questions: how can I do this, how can I do that, and especially now when you cannot really go to any patent firms personally. And, you know, patent firms, and then specialize as well in e-commerce. So we're going to funnel this down, and then there is only a few people left where you actually can go and who you can talk to. So I think it's just, it came to you like a blessing, you know. It's like, wow, we funnel this down and here we are, Mill IP Law, you know. It's I think it's the perfect match for that, you know. And I'm sure it gave you as well a lot of motivation. Because it's your passion, you have lived it. You didn't want to go to judge. You didn't want to go and create any partnership with any law firm or anything. You really did this on your own, and you thought, yeah, that's it. I'm good in this, and I love this from the beginning, you know. So the world of e-commerce is definitely the place to go, and you know, best decision ever since COVID, I would say. You know, it's.
And what's interesting, especially with COVID, and I think it accelerated it, is you had more people that were working from home. They were locking down, they were on furlough. So they had more people with more time on their hands, and also kind of reassessing a lot of what they wanted to do with their career. And so it's actually spurred a lot more startups and small businesses, people going into business themselves, pursuing an idea that they always wanted to, they hadn't done yet. And so both on e-commerce as well as businesses in general, it's really accelerated that. And then I think especially on the e-commerce side, people are saying, hey, you know, I can, whether it's launch a website and do my own, you know, provide a service, I can go sell a product, I can create something, I can go on an Amazon, or I can, you know, get a website or anything of that nature. it opened that up to a lot of people that maybe were hesitant before are now saying, well, this is the best time because I'm already stuck at home. I can't go do a lot of the things I would do. I have more time because I'm not having to commute. Maybe I have some time where I'm quarantined or I'm on lockdown or anything else. And so I think it kind of opened up a lot of that field that otherwise people may not have explored it or just not as quickly.
I mean, it's like I said, it's a perfect timing, and I'm sure that it gives you motivation. When we speak about motivation, I'm always asking most of the guests this question, all of the guests actually. What does motivate you in general? Because motivation is a factor. I know there you have already mentioned three or four things what might motivate you, but in your own words, what really motivates you? Why you get up in the morning and do all of this all the time?
I enjoy it. It's a passion. I mean, I think that there's an inherent nature of, I find it fun. So, you know, there's always bad days and, you know, I always say, if you love what you do, you'll never work a day in your life. No, there's still going to be hard times and still times that aren't fun. But you know, most of the time I get up and say, hey, this is fun, exciting. What am I going to go do? What am I going to build today? Who am I going to work with? How am I going to manage things? And I just enjoy it and find it fun. So that kind of gets me out of bed in the morning because I enjoy it and just have a great time at it. But then there's also a point of I always liking to build things and, you know, and improving the firm, offering new services, figuring out new ways to do it and make it better and all, you know, make a better customer experience, make a better user experience, you know, help them throughout the process, offer new services and products. And we do a lot between us, you know, DIY products to help people to get started to, you know, helping them throughout the process. We do a ton of video content and creating content. There's always a lot of things and areas that you can improve on. And it's, you know, it's a bit of that competition. I'm not the only law firm out there and not the only patent and trademark attorney. So how am I going to separate myself? How am I going to do better? I just find that fun. The nature of competition and building and growing and changing I find it exciting and enjoyable.
Okay, then we go directly as well into what you're actually doing because you mentioned it already. Can you explain a little bit to us what does Miller IP Law stands for and how could they help, for example, Amazon customers or Walmart customers, and how can they best get in contact with you?
Sure. Yeah. So on all of the e-commerce front, Amazon, you have Walmart, you have others. There's kind of three areas of intellectual property that people may fall into depending on kind of what they are selling. So one is if they've created a new product. So let's say they've created something that's awesome. They created a better mousetrap. They created the next iPhone, whatever it might be, but they innovated something. One of the things that you're going to want to, you know, that you'll find, and especially on Amazon and e-commerce, is once you have a good idea, it starts to sell, people are going to start knocking it off. They're going to start copying it, or they're going to, you know, have China manufactured or whatnot. And so patents are one that is, if you can go out and get some patent protection, it gives you the ability to fend off people that are actually copying your product. And so that'd be kind of one thing that they can consider is, hey, if you're going to put a lot of time, blood, sweat, and tears into developing a new product, doing something new, then they need to be able to protect what's proprietary about it, such as somebody doesn't just say, hey, that's a great idea. I love it. Now I'm going to make my own version of it. The next thing that they could think about is also on the branding side, which hits a ton on both, or especially on Amazon. They have Amazon brand registry. You have people that will have, or either you'll take or knock you off and you'll take them down, you'll submit a claim, or somebody else submit a claim against you. And so best thing that you can do if you're going to build a brand on Amazon or on e-commerce is to get protection with the trademark. So that way, if somebody is going to make a claim against you that you're knocking off their brand, you can say, hey, no, we actually already registered a trademark. Or if somebody is coming along and knocking off your brand or mimicking it or copying it, you can actually do it with Amazon brand registry or others. You can get that taken down because you're infringing on your trademark. So that's kind of another thing that is kind of universal. If you're building a brand, you're doing a lot of optimization, a lot of SEO, you're doing a lot of other things to get you a higher listing. Sure. That's going to be because you have a good brand and you're going to want to protect that. Last thing, and then I'll pause, is, you know, the other thing is if you're doing something more creative nature. So if you're doing an e-commerce, you're doing a book, or you're doing a video, you know, audio content, you're doing a podcast, you're doing videos, you're doing something where it's more on the creative side, you're doing photos, you're doing anything of that nature, pictures, videos, movies, TV shows, whatever, then you're going to protect that with copyright. Again, that's kind of the same thing of you're going to put invest a lot of time in writing that book or taking that perfect photo or putting that content online. You're going to want to protect that with copyright such that people don't just come along, right click, download, save, yeah. and then they start offering the same thing as what you're offering. So kind of those are all things that you start to consider, especially as you're putting things out online that people are easily going to be able to see. It's going to be available and they can otherwise mimic or otherwise copy from you. Those are the ways that you can start to protect what you're doing.
Okay. So, and this is as well for the European area, or are you only for the US?
So I'm licensed in the US, so I primarily focus in the US. We have a lot of clients that also go international and or that are international that come into the US. And so we help them on both sides. So a lot of times we'll have an attorney that's in your local area that we'll work with. So we'll do most of the work, okay. We'll give them directions, and then they'll do the filing or the managing of it for that local area. So in a sense, we have clients I've helped with everything from Japan, China, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Mexico, Canada, pretty well across the US that will help out. So definitely wherever you're located, we can help you. And if for whatever reason we're not able to help you, we can definitely direct you to people that can.
Because this is, I think the pattern is one of the most things what I think people have problems with, you know, and questions as well. There will be a lot of questions because, you know, within Europe, for example, Amazon, if you file your pattern into the UK, for example, you have it automatically for the whole European Union for the rest as well. So there is things which most of you maybe not know. Then they need to ask, do I need to file in every single country, for example, or do I need to file in every single state in the US? Does it cover Canada? So there will be definitely a lot of questions. And I really, every time somebody comes to me asking taxes, I have somebody who I sent them to. Patent law, I had many questions about this. You know, I had to read a lot about this, you know, and I don't like to give advice on things I'm not 100% sure about. So really do this only like if I really read about it, then I would say, okay, listen, that's why I know as well with the patent from the UK, you can, then you have it automatically in the whole European Union. But, you know, for US law or anything, I didn't look into it. I know it's a bit easier because if you file, for example, Amazon, in the States, then you have it in the whole States, you know, which is perfect. You know, I think it would be really bad if you need to apply each state at a time, you know, that would be a bit different. Yeah. So, yeah, I think very useful, very, very good. So Miller IP Law, the place to go if you have any questions about patent law or anything related to law in general with e-commerce, Walmart, the other brands, I think Costco in the States as well. There is, plenty, plenty other market chains or e-commerce chains. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, and to follow up on that, a couple easy ways to connect up with me. If people want to schedule a kind of a one-on-one conversation where we can go through, strategize with them, answer any questions, you know, get them taken care of, they can go to strategymeeting.com. That links right to my calendar. They can grab some time with me. And we can.
I'm going to put this here at the end.
What's that?
Perfect. I'm going to put this here after the video. I'm going to put this down there. Perfect.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely. Good. So yeah, great. So strategymeeting.com is a great way to reach out to me if they just want to learn more about the firm, myself, our costs, our prices. You know, more about, we have a ton of content on patents and trademarks and copyrights and other business related things. They can go to Law with Miller, all one word, lawwithmiller.com. And also just check out the general website. So strategymeeting.com if they want to reach out to me, lawwithmiller.com if they want to find out more about the firm.
Okay, that sounds perfect. Sounds perfect. One last question I have for you. If you send a message out to the world, I mean, everyone is stressed. You know, the situation is not funny. You know, it's very serious, you know, and e-commerce is booming, obviously, but everything which is not e-commerce is beginning to fall apart. So what would you, your reminder or your message to all entrepreneurs, especially for those who are struggling at the moment?
Yeah, I think that, you know, anytime that there is a change in the marketplace, and that can be from COVID, lockdowns, it can be meltdowns, it can be positive things, but anytime there's a change in the marketplace where it's causing people to not be able to do the status quo or the things that they're used to, I think it presents an opportunity because it presents the chinks in the armor, you know, the weak spots in their armor where they may not have thought about, because when things are going well and business is moving along, you oftentimes don't look at those, you know, those weaknesses in the armor because you don't have to worry about them. But when you ever you have something that's shaken up, it presents opportunities. So I think a lot of times when you're doing e-commerce, you're doing startups, you're doing small businesses, you can always be saying, how does these changes present an opportunity that we can take advantage of to niche down, to provide a new service, to do something else that others aren't doing? And I think that those are the things, because you're going to, it's going to be a bit scary or frightening when things are going differently or change and everything else. And you can either, you can kind of curl up, try and wait it out, and hopefully things return back to normal, or you can say, hey, this is an opportunity that now we can go and actually take advantage of it. And it can be a, an opportunity to build a business and grow it and make it better and stronger and do something different than what the competition is. So that'd be my number one, you know, takeaway is to, you know, to look for those opportunities as changes arise, to leverage them to your benefit.
Perfect. Look out for opportunities is what I say as well all the time. Search, 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 and you will find, you know, it's, you know, it's just a little bit of effort inside and, you know, don't lose your belief in things, you know, and just keep on going, you know. I mean, the times are pretty hard, you know, but, you know, if you really try to do something, you will find what to do and everything will be going your way, you know. Just try harder, really. Great.
No, I absolutely couldn't agree with you more.
Thank you so much. Thank you for this nice talk, Devin. And yeah, then I think at some point we will talk again. And yeah, thanks for your time. It was great having you on the show.
Absolutely. I had a fun time being here and it was a great time chatting with you.
Thank you, Devin. Speak to you later. Bye.